This is a conversation with Mike Chmielecki, the editor of Floor Carving Installer. We're talking about the CFI convention. Also at this event, as we mentioned earlier, the CFI had its convention and an expo. This happened, I guess, immediately after the summit. What's your take on all these and on all that and their events and so on?
Well, the two interesting takeaways from the CFI convention this year, I thought, one was that they're starting a division in China, and that division, basically they're working with the authority that creates all the standards for China. So, I mean, that'll pretty much get them, like, as the de facto installation authority in China. So, I mean, it's not going to help America at all, but it does help with elevating the CFI name more globally and assuring the health of the organization, which I think is great. And the other thing I saw this year was there was a lot more first-timers, and a lot of them, which I spoke with, were from the five-week courses, and then they just came straight to the convention. So I'm seeing that's starting to pay dividends for them. They're starting to get fresh blood and people that are interested, the next generation. So, well, it feels like this generation got skipped over and isn't joining the trade, and now they're waiting for the next generation to want to enter the trade. Based on this show, I would say that there are more young people starting to enter. I remember last year, I think there was one person that was, maybe a couple more than, maybe three, I don't know. But there wasn't that many, like, people that were under 30 there. And this year, I would say probably 10 or 12 under 30 at least. So that's a good step.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the training. There's a training facility in Texas being run by the CFI, and there's other places where they're doing this locally, traveling a traveling situation. I know initially, in talking to some of the CFI people, it seemed like they were having an awfully difficult time getting people in to the training situations. It seems like that's obviously changed. At least I'm assuming that's changed. Why is that? Is somebody providing, you know, dollars and cents to, you know, to have these people show up?
I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I know part of it is, like, a lot of the ones that had come from the five-week course had come from Cincinnati. So I think that them kind of moving that course, not just at that center, but I think I mean, I could be wrong. I thought it was that they kind of made it more mobile, these classes. Mm-hmm. They kind of went to where they are, as opposed to having to fly to Forney for these things. I don't know. Maybe it was that they came directly into Forney and had it, and then they went back to their area. But whatever it is, I mean, it just seems that they're kind of branching out more. People aren't afraid to go and talk to the superintendents at schools. They're not afraid to try to get in touch with some veterans. They're not afraid of trying some minority outreach. And there were some people that were saying that there's a lot more women that are entering the trade now, too. So I think it was John McGrath of Install who mentioned that the future of installation is going to be both a lot more women and a lot browner, meaning that it's not just going to be white people and white men who are now sitting in rooms doing this. There's going to be a lot more minorities and a lot more women, and I think that's where people are going to have to tap into to kind of for the future of the industry, because it just seems that this generation and just trying to get people involved is just very difficult.
I think you're right. John McGrath, who you mentioned, director of Install, one of the presenters, he was talking about their recruiting program, and he had several parts of that, one of which was veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they've been very active in the recruiting, And as you mentioned, people that look a little bit different from the people that have joined the installation ranks, but they've been very successful, and there's no reason most everybody couldn't do similar activities.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great. I mean, I think it's always great to have people from all kinds of backgrounds and all walks of life, because, I mean, that makes companies stronger. That gives you new perspectives. You just learn so much more when you talk to people from all over as opposed to just people in your neighborhood.
The installers that you mentioned, would you have any feel for if these guys are contractors or they're hired on somebody's payroll?
The one I spoke with was that he used to work for a moving company, and then just by pure coincidence, he was moving a CFI contractor installer into a new house, and they got to talking, and the guy liked his attitude, and he said, "Hey, have you heard of CFI? And, you know, you seem like you'd be a great fit." And then he kind of took him on as an apprentice for a month, sent him directly to the 5-week course, and then he came back on the payroll as an employee. So I think when you were saying earlier about Votech, they don't want to get people out there if there's not a job at the end of the tunnel. I think the way that another way to solve it is that way. Like, you get someone, you're not afraid to mentor them. You're not afraid to take them on if you see something good in them. And that's what a lot of the people were saying at this event, that if there's people that are kind of dragging a company down, get rid of them, get people who want to be there, and then pay them accordingly, and you'll be surprised how well your business does.
I think you're exactly right. It seems like I can remember somebody mentioning there are scholarships where, say, a retailer could send, you know, a candidate to this school, and I don't know if this would be local or in Texas. I don't know the logistics of it. But that they would pay the way, and then they would hire the guy at the other end. I don't know if that's happening, but it seems like I've heard some people talking about that.
Yeah, I don't know through which organizations, but that is. I mean, that's definitely something they do with. I mean, that's not through CFI, but like I know Install with their apprenticeship program. If you're part of that union, you know, you kind of go through journeyman and apprenticeship. Well, apprenticeship first, and journeyman and. You know, there's all kinds of ways of doing it, but really, in all cases, from what I heard at that event, as long as the installer feels part of the team, valued, has benefits, has a 401k, I mean, not only will they want to be part of the industry, if they ever have kids, they'll want to get their kids in the industry because they know that there's an actual long-term future.
Exactly right. And they do have a job. Once they're recruited by Install, they do have a job with a contractor, you know, that is working with Install.
I know
that's a fact. Now, one of the things that was mentioned at this, I think it was at the summit, talking about CFI training, they were talking about, as part of the overall training, there was business training. And I think that's an excellent idea in that most of these guys are going to be independent contractors, and having them have a feel for how to maneuver their taxes, and I don't mean that in a negative way, I mean to do that in a positive way.
Yeah, of course.
And there's just an overabundance of examples of installers in this industry who have some business acumen who have been extremely successful. And I think there's no reason why a lot of people coming into this business couldn't enjoy that same result.
Yeah, and CFI has been doing that for a long time. I mean, that's kind of their core focus, is not just to do the hand skills but the head skills. You know, get more involved on the business side, because as you get older in the industry and your body's torn up from years and years of installation, you're going to have to get off your knees and sit behind a desk and start managing other people and start figuring out how to brand yourself and your business and try to grow that. And there's no way you can do that if you don't have any of that background training. So I think that's something that CFI offers that's excellent. And FCICA, which will be in October this year, they do a good job at that too. They really try to not only do technical side, but also the business side, and really hammer that home. And I mean to be 100% honest, when I was at the CFI convention this year, I was like, you know what? Every year I go to the LVT installation techniques or something about carpet. This year I'm going to go to some of the business seminars, and I enjoyed them, but I did notice compared to the technical ones, they were sparsely attended. So I think people still want to see that hands-on stuff, but I like that it's offered for people, that if they want to do the business side, it's there for them.
Well, I think it makes a whole lot of sense. Let me ask you, contractors are having problems, as we've mentioned for most of this conversation, getting qualified installers in their operation. Other than that, what are some of the prime problems that these contractors, and I guess retailers as well, are looking at as a part of their business?
Well, on the commercial side, I would say one of the things is when bidding, really looking closely at the fine print and the blueprints and everything to see what is actually part of the bid and what isn't, and then also being able to do a disclaimer yourself to say what isn't part of the bid, because what happens sometimes is they'll jump in, they'll do the bid, and then all of a sudden, wait a minute, there's a moisture mitigation issue, we got to get this solved, and guess what, that wasn't budgeted for, that wasn't in the bid, and you always want to make very clear, and this is, again, going to more of the business side of things, you want to make it as clear as possible that this is what's included and this is what isn't. And then if they call you and they're like, well, how come your bid is so much higher than this guy? Say, okay, ask this guy if he has this, this, and this in it. And then they call them and they're like, wow, they never even heard of that. I guess we'll go with you.
Yeah.
You know, any way you can differentiate yourself and make it crystal clear what you offer and what's going to be added on, that's important. A lot of that bid process stuff is important for the commercial side. And then some commercial companies, you know, whether to stay just with the flooring side or to go into the maintenance side too, you know, some are offering like cleaning services, some are offering full service, like beyond just flooring, like maybe they'll do window treatments, maybe they'll do countertops, whatever. I mean, these are all things you have to consider when you're running a commercial operation that you probably wouldn't as much with a residential.
Well, I guess it's also important, as you know, which what you're really mentioning there is just to make sure you've covered yourself. If some unforeseen situation happens that you've bid on, to make sure you're not going to end up there holding the bag.
Yes, and that reminds me of something else. During one of the presentations at CFI, they were talking about third-party inspections, and it was Bob Bloschinger who was teaching that one, and he said he's always surprised at the number of times that he'll go out on an inspection and the installer or the contractor aren't even there to defend themselves. They just assume, well, you know, it's gone to an inspector, nothing I can do now. And that's not the case at all. You can not only try to find out firsthand who might be doing the inspection, because inspectors are licensed for different things in the area. Mm-hmm. You can just do a quick search and see who could possibly be doing it and do some homework on them, and then be there to kind of walk them through it and explain it. Because if they're just going to go there and no one's there to talk with them, they're just going to find what they find, and there's no one to say, well, but this is what was happening then, and here's some documentation and some proof. So, again, it's covering yourself and also always trying to stay within industry standards and having that documentation to back it up.
Yeah. How well attended was that seminar on independent inspections?
I mean, that's the thing. There was probably, I would say, 8 or 9 people in that room, where when I was walking past that room, past other rooms to get to that event, there was something going on about resilient insulation, and it was standing room only. And as I was walking by, One of the hotel people were adding extra chairs so people could sit. So, I mean, the draw still is going to be the hands-on skills. But I mean, the people who were there were asking very good questions. So I think it's just, it depends on where you are in your life and in the industry. If you're still a young guy or girl and trying to just, go out there and put down flooring every day, you're going to want to know more technical stuff. Whereas if you're much more involved in the back end of the business, you're going to want to know the business building stuff.
Makes total sense. Well, Mike, I surely appreciate you spending some time with us today, and you really shed some light on installation in general and the Installation Summit in particular. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Absolutely. Always happy to.
Yes, sir. We've been talking with Mike Chmielecki. Mike is the editor of Floor Covering Installer, and this is Floor Radio.